And if you're staying in here this morning, turn to the last chapter in your Bible. Revelation. Anybody know what number it is? 22. Revelation 22. Last chapter in God's Word. If you've been here on Wednesdays, we've been talking about the significance of the number 22. And I won't belabor you with this again, but 22 is the number of letters in the Hebrew alphabet. And the Old Testament was predominantly, all but just a little section, originally preserved in what language? Hebrew, yeah. So I think it's kind of interesting that you got 22 chapters in the book of Revelation. And if you stay with us on Wednesday nights, we'll talk about how it very well could be that the language of the future might be. Wouldn't say for certain, but might be Hebrew. Something to think about. But let's read verse 1 through 5 here in Revelation 22. If you'll follow along as I read. 22:1. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on the either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads, and there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. Okay, so these are things that haven't happened yet. And if you know the Lord Jesus Christ, this actually has to do with your future. Did you know that? So this morning, the goal here is to give all of us a little bit of encouragement concerning now and things to come. Because let's face it, if all there is the here and now, pretty miserable existence we have, huh? If things don't ever get any better, it's pretty miserable existence. But things will get better, and your Bible tells you about that. If you're saved, they'll get better, I should say. So we'll look at three things from this passage that are in heaven that are available to you today. Three things in heaven that are available today. So let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for your words. We know that these words are able to have an effect on our hearts. And I ask that you would really do a great work in us today. I pray that your word goes forth in the power of the Holy Ghost and in no other way. I pray you move me off to the side. And I pray that right now, just for a little short time here, that we would be inclined to hear from you. And that we would also be inclined to be moved by you as a result of what we hear this morning. I pray for encouragement. I pray for conviction. We just pray for you to do whatever it is that you desire. And Lord, we thank you that we have this book in front of us. We thank you that we have folks here that want to hear it. Thank you that we have freedom to go forth and preach and give out literature and evangelize. And we just thank you for that. I pray as long as we have it. And take this message here and have your way with it. And we pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. So, as I already said, I'll just say it again. If you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have a lot of good things to look forward to. You may not have much to look forward to this week, but in eternity, you have a lot to look forward to. And this world offers you nothing other than temporary solutions to your problems. Have you noticed that? Temporary solutions is all this world can do. And a lot of times, those temporary solutions have long-term consequences. Let me give you an example of this. A lot of people in our world, whenever they have problems in their life, rather than turning to the Lord, they turn to the pill. And there's pills of many sorts that I'm not talking about the things like marijuana and cocaine, although I can include that in here. But a lot of people will turn to some sort of pill that will, or at least it's advertised as solving their problems. Now, we don't have TV. I do see advertisements when I'm on the internet and all, and so I've seen these from time to time. These advertisements from drug companies, have you seen these? They're quite scary. If you've noticed, in the advertisement, everybody's happy. There's children and adults. They're always very attractive, good-looking people, and they're laughing, and they're usually playing, and everything is great. And then there's a voice that's usually very soothing that's talking in the background. And they will tell you about how whatever it is they're pushing, it will cure your depression, it will help you with your mood, it will help you with anxiety, etc. And they actually say slowly all the good things that the particular drug will help you with, right? And you, here you are, you're just enthralled. You're like, oh, it's like euphoria. Whoa, this is so cool. And then at the very end, it takes them about 3 to 5 seconds. Here's what they do. They say, side effects may include diarrhea, dizziness, drowsiness, fatigue, heart issues, hives, nausea and vomiting, rash. And they say it as fast as they can so you don't catch all of it. In the background, while you're watching, you still see these people having this good time. If you had diarrhea, dizziness, drowsiness, fatigue, you're not having a good time. But have you noticed that? So I know that's kind of funny, but I bring that up because all the world offers is temporary solutions to your problems. Have you noticed the entertainment industry is all geared to take you away from reality where things are so great, but every ride at the amusement park comes to an end? And have you noticed that most of them, I was on a roller coaster not long ago, and it was, because it was a really scary one, it seemed like a long time. It was probably about 90 seconds. Seemed like a lot longer than that because it was terrifying, but it really wasn't that long. And all the world can give you is temporary satisfaction. Now, what's sad is when a person continually goes back and says, oh, I got to get this, and they're fulfilled temporarily. And what do they have to do? Let me go back and get something else. Temporary fulfillment. And again and again. Meanwhile, your pocketbook is empty. Because this stuff isn't cheap to go to the amusement park or to buy the prescription drug. It's just not cheap. But all the world can offer you is temporary solutions. And oftentimes there's consequences that go with those, quote, solutions, if you're not noticing that. Let me give you another example of how people down here in this world are really and truly miserable, whether they want to admit it or not. So there's a fella back in, he was born in 1854. A fellow named George Eastman. Ever hear of the Kodak Company? George Eastman, highly successful entrepreneur, founded the Eastman Kodak Company, and he helped bring the photographic use of film on a roll, as many of you here actually are familiar with that. The younger crowd is not. But film on a roll, he brought that to the mainstream. And he was a philanthropist. I mean, I got a whole list of things here. He established the Eastman School of Music, Rochester Philharmonic Orchestra, School of Dentistry and Medicine at the University of Rochester, the London Eastman Dental Hospital. He contributed to the Rochester Institute of Technology, and the list just goes on and on and on. And the last couple years of his life, he was in intense pain as he had a spinal disorder. And March 14th, 1932, he took his own life. And he left a very short note which said, to my friends, my work is done. Why wait? What a sad ending. And it sounds like all of that financial empire that he built, he ran into a problem with his, it was a health problem initially, he ran into a problem that nobody could help him with. And then the end of his life is tragic. And I don't know that he was a saved man. I have great doubts of that he was. And things did not get better for him after he died, if that's the case. In fact, things don't get better for anybody who dies without Jesus Christ. Folks, there's something better coming if you know the Lord Jesus Christ. How about somebody, just a little introduction here before we get into the passage, but how about somebody else you're probably very familiar with? I've mentioned him in recent messages, Elon Musk. So, 2020, so this is actually May of 2020, so 2 years ago, on social media, he said, quote, I am selling almost all physical possessions, will own no house, end of quote. So, if you look at the last couple of years, he owned a ton of properties, and he has sold a lot of those. Now, he hung on to a couple of them for a couple different reasons, which I won't go into, but he got rid of a bunch of stuff. And I remember seeing that quote that he put out there on social media thinking, I wonder if he's getting to the place where he realizes there's nothing down here has to offer. And I think that he's probably there. You know why? You know what he's got his heart set on now? Not anything down here, but establishing a colony up there. Now, he might make it to Mars. I don't know if he'll make it or not. But if he made it to Mars, he would still be a long ways away from where you're going if you know Jesus Christ. Amen? So isn't that something? Here's a fella who knows. Down here, there's nothing good. So what's he doing? I'll set something up there. Crazy thing. So he's kind of got the right idea in one sense about there's nothing good down here. It's better up there. But he's going to the wrong place. And the source of all this is obviously got to be billions and billions of dollars, which you know can go just like that. So again, the world offers a lot of solutions to our sorrows and to our problems, but they're all temporary. So let's get into what the passage says here about some things that are eternal, that are available now, and will be present in heaven. So take a look at verse 1 here. And by the way, the Lord offers eternal solutions to your problems. Eternal solutions. They're not temporary. They last forever. Now, there's nobody down here that can give you that, but the Lord offers eternal solutions to your problems. So let's take a look at the first thing that we've got here. Verse 1. And he showed me a pure river, watch the wording, of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. Now, how many of you drink a lot of water? I drink a lot of water. Hey, little health tip. Drinking a gallon of water a day will really make you feel a lot better. If you're not doing that, it'll really help you. Water's good for you. And what kind of water is good for you? You want clean water, don't you? You want purified water, don't you? So when I was a kid, I do not remember water in a bottle being sold at the store. Do y'all remember that? I know you go to the grocery store and you get the gallon plastic containers. You know, they've been around for a long time. I do not remember going to the 7-Eleven or the convenience store and seeing bottles of water. Y'all remember that? Somebody is making a fortune selling water to you. Have you ever thought about that? Somebody's making a lot of money because water's cheap. And talking about the water down here that we have for our bodies, it's cheap. And it really does not cost that much at all, but they put it in a bottle. You know how much they sell it for? They sell it to you for a dollar. Now, little tip here. Go to somewhere like Walmart or BJ's, and you can get a whole lot of them for $3. So you see the person that's selling it for a dollar at the convenience store, they're making a lot of money, aren't they? So maybe go into the water business if you're looking to make some money. But I don't remember that being the case. But since water is something that everybody needs, somebody figured it out. We'll just make it available to somebody at the convenience store. They'll see it in there and they'll think, oh yeah, I need that. And you need water, don't you? A lot of the inside of your body is water. You need water to live. And you should drink water. But I want you to see something in that verse. Did you notice something that's different there in that verse? It's a pure river of water of what? Now, drinking water will keep you alive, but not forever. It sure does sound like this water here is unique. Now, I take this passage when I read it as literal. I really believe there is a pure river of water of life in eternity in heaven. I really believe that. But the Lord oftentimes will show us things that we know about in the physical realm to show us spiritual truth. So here's where you got to think a little bit. I want you to go back in your Bible to John chapter 7. And you're going to see a mention of water here. And it's in a spiritual sense. But this spiritual mention of water, I believe Revelation 22 shows us that it one day will be literal, physical. Look at John 7. Look at verse 37. Words of Jesus Christ. John 7. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Verse 38. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of, what do you see there? Living water. Now, what is he talking about? Well, read the parentheses. Very important. Verse 39. But this spake he of the Spirit. That's a capital S. That's the Holy Spirit. Which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. So, I see that verse, and I see where Jesus Christ today offers spiritual water that is spiritually satisfying all the time. And what is that water, everybody? What do you see there? It is the Holy Spirit. Go back to Revelation 22 and just show you again here. It says there, a pure river of water of life. So here's what's neat, folks. Things that are right now in this time we're living in that are spiritual will one day be literal. That's right. One day they will be literal. So let me show you again, and this is from your Old Testament. Go to Ezekiel. We were here this morning at the end of Sunday school. Go to Ezekiel 47. And in Ezekiel 47, you get a glimpse of the future, things in heaven. Actually, this very well may be the millennium, but future nevertheless. Look at Ezekiel 47 and look at verse 8. Actually, back up to 6, get a little context here. And Ezekiel sees this giant river. And look what happens. Verse 6, 47:6. And he said unto me, Son of man, hast thou seen this? Then he brought me and caused me to return to the brink of the river. Now when I had returned, behold, at the bank of the river were very many trees on the one side and on the other. Then said he unto me, These waters issue out toward the east country and go down into the desert and go into the sea, which being brought forth into the sea, the waters shall be what? Healed. So these waters are healed. But then look at verse 9. And it shall come to pass that everything that liveth, which moveth, whithersoever the river shall come, shall what? Live. And there shall be a very great multitude of fish, because these waters shall come thither, for they shall be healed. Watch what he says again. And everything shall live whither the river cometh. You know what that sounds like to me? Anything in that water, which is in that river, is alive and is going to stay alive. Is that what you get from that? I see life connected with the things in that water. Now, that's future there. Now, go back there to Revelation 22. We'll keep coming back here. Notice something about this river of water. Just wrapping up here. This is the first point, by the way, is the water of life. Notice verse 2, something about this water, and similar to what we saw in Ezekiel. Verse 2, in the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life. So, you've got the water of life in verse 1, and you've got the tree of life in verse 2. Notice this tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nation. So you've got life, the water of life, and you've also got the tree of life. And these are both things that are available in the future in heaven. You got the water of life, and you got the tree of life. So what do you know about the tree of life? And again, the tree of life is nourished by that river, which is the water of life. What do you know about the tree of life? You remember seeing that anywhere in your Bible? Maybe back in the first book of your Bible, in Genesis. Let's take a look at that real quick. Genesis 3. So this first point has to do with life, the water of life, and the tree of life. Things that are available in the future, this particular thing was available, but it's not now, but will be in the future. Talking about the tree of life. So Genesis chapter 3. This is after Adam and Eve have sinned. So this is the aftermath, verse 22. And the Lord God said, Behold, the man has become as one of us to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand and take also of the, what do you see there? The tree of life and eat and live forever. Okay, but before I go on, that tree of life, anyone who partakes of it, how long do they live? Forever. Notice in Revelation 22, that tree of life is present for the healing of the nations. So that tree of life has power, wouldn't you say? Let's see what happened, verse 23. Therefore, the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword, which turned every way to keep the way of the what? Folks, right now, right at this moment, where is the tree of life? Wherever the Garden of Eden was. You say, where was that? Your guess is probably as good as mine. If I had to put it down somewhere on the map, maybe Mesopotamia somewhere. Somewhere over there in the Middle East. I don't know, but you're not going to have access to it even if you found it, because I really believe, verse 24, guess who's guarding the tree of life right now? It says there are cherubims and a flaming sword. So even if you found the tree of life, you wouldn't be able to access the tree of life. But the tree of life will be accessible in eternity. And go back there to Revelation 22. There's a couple things here wrapping this up about life. The water of life and the tree of life. This tree of life, it says there back in verse 2, the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits and yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nation. So that tree of life gives eternal life from Genesis 3. And here it has healing powers in Revelation 22. Now, what has that got to do with me and you in the here and now? Now, these are things in the future, but what about the here and now? Well, right now, there is spiritual water available for anybody who's thirsty. You get it by believing on Jesus Christ, and that spiritual water is the Holy Spirit, right? Now, how about the tree of life? You really study trees in your Bible, you get a whole lot on this, but what do you know about the Lord Jesus Christ? Didn't He pay the price for your sins and mine on a tree? 1 Peter 2, it says, who His own self bare our sins in His own body on the tree. So you got the tree of life there. You got He who is the way, the truth, and the life was crucified on the tree, and He didn't stay in the grave, did He? He rose from the dead. So what's He offer to me and you today? He offers eternal life, so that one day you might have this water of life and access to this tree of life. So there's two things I see in heaven pertaining to life that are available up there, but not down here. But isn't it a great hope knowing that one day they will be present and you will not have to worry about all the nonsense that you're worrying about right now? Amen. So there's life up there in heaven. There's the tree of life, and there is the water of life. Now, you know what the world offers you? What's the world offer you? The world offers you nothing really other than one day you will die. All the medications, all the treatments, that's all the world can offer you. And they don't like to talk about that because they don't like to talk about death and what happens after death. But folks, your Bible tells you why people die. But not only that, it gives you the solution. The solution being Jesus Christ. So let me just ask you this morning, right now, at this very moment, do you have eternal life? Now, we got the water of life up there in the future in heaven. We got the tree of life up there. But how about in the here and now, right now, do you have eternal life? Do you? Let me show you. And if you go door to door this afternoon, what a great place to take somebody when it concerns life. Go to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. Keep your finger there in Revelation. We'll be coming back. 1 John 5. Verse 11, 1 John 5:11. Life available today, eternal life available to you today. 1 John 5:11, and this is the record that God, and only God hath given to us. What do you see there? Eternal life, and this life is in who? His Son, capital S. Look at verse 12. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Which side are you on right now? Only you know, and God knows. Do you have the Son? Do you know the Son of God, Jesus Christ? Was there a time where you called on Him to be your Savior, knowing that only in Him is eternal life, nobody else, nowhere else? That's the only way to life. Look at the next verse, verse 13. Great verse to show folks, when you go door to door. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may, what's that next word? Know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. So a great question to ask folks is, do you know for certain where you will spend eternity? And if they say no, the next thing you should say is, can I show you from the Bible where it tells you how you can know? I don't know of a better place to go than right there. I mean, there's a lot of places you can go, but that nails it down pretty good, doesn't it? Folks, you don't have to be in limbo. You don't have to wonder if you're on your way to heaven or not. You can know you're on your way to heaven by knowing the Lord Jesus Christ on a personal level. No church can offer you what Jesus Christ offers you. No religious leader can offer you what Jesus Christ offers you. He is the way, the truth, and the life, and He's the only one that can give you eternal life. You got life today? Hey, in the eternity, there's the tree of life and the water of life that you will not access unless you know the one who is the resurrection and the life. That's Jesus Christ. Do you know Him? I hope you know Him this morning. Go back there to Revelation 22. How about something else? And this just ties into what I just said. Something else that is in heaven. We've got life in heaven, the water of life and the tree of life. Something else in heaven. Look at verse 3. And there shall be no more what? You know what the Bible says? It says that we are living under a curse right now. You know why? Because if you have sinned, you are living under the curse. Galatians 3 says, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. You see, Jesus Christ became a curse, though He was not deserving of that, so that you and I could have the curse taken away. The curse being death and eternal torment in hell. And He made it so that you don't have to suffer that. All right, keep going here. Look what it says here. It says, there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and His servants shall serve Him. If you go down there, you find out that the Lamb is there. You see verse 1? At the end of verse 1, you find out it says the Lamb, capital L, is there. So the second thing in heaven is the Lamb. Now the Lamb is the prominent figure in heaven. If you go back to Revelation 5, you'll find that out. And the Lamb, let's find out who that is if you don't know. You probably do know, but let's make sure we get the Bible on this. Go to John chapter 1. Who is the Lamb? In heaven there is life. In heaven there is the Lamb. John chapter 1. Look at verse 29. A neat thing to do as you read through just John chapter 1. Take yourself a pen and paper and write down all the titles that you find on of Jesus Christ. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word. There's the first one. And you'll find a whole bunch more titles, and we're going to look at one right here. John 1:29. The next day, John seeth who? Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. That's pretty neat there. John the Baptist recognized Jesus Christ for who He really is. The one who, and the only one, that can take away your sin. All right, go on down there to verse 35. You'll see it again. Again, the next day after John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as He walked, he saith, Behold, the Lamb of God. So I tell you a neat little thing about John. John identifies the Lamb of God in verse 29. And he's correct in as identifying Him. Then you go down there to verse 36. John can't keep his mouth shut, can he? He's got two men with him. And what does he say? Behold, the Lamb of God. He's got to tell somebody. He sees Him. He's got to tell somebody. And I think that's good for me and you. If you know Him, what should you do? You ought to tell somebody. Amen? So he tells these two fellas. He says, Behold, the Lamb of God. All right, go down there to verse... real quick on this thing about titles, go on down there to verse 38, and you see two things capitalized in that verse. You see Rabbi, and you see Master. Folks, you'll have a fun time going through John chapter 1, write down all the titles for Jesus Christ. How is He the Rabbi? How is He the Master? How is He the Word? How is He, verse 49, the King, capital K of Israel? How is He all those things? Folks, He's God manifest in the flesh, isn't He? He's the only one that is all those things. Isn't it something to know Him? Aren't you glad you know Him? I mean, I have had the privilege in my life to meet some, quote, important people. If I named some of them, you probably would not be impressed, because most of them, I met a few professional athletes along the way. But they have come and gone, and nobody really knows and cares anymore. But what a thing to know God manifest in the flesh, the Lord Jesus Christ. What a thing to know Him. What a thing to know Him on a personal level. What a thing to know that you can tell Him anything and ask for help with anything, and He can help you with anything. Amen? He's among other titles, the great physician. You need a doctor? Now, you may not need a doctor right now for something physical, or maybe you do. But I'll tell you what you need. You got needs. You got emotional, you got spiritual, you got needs that only He can take care of. See, the Bible is it says sharper than any two-edged sword. And the Lord Jesus Christ actually takes that as a utensil for surgery sometimes. And He will use that to do things that only He can do. And from time to time, I think all of us need a little surgery. And if you've ever had surgery, they open you up on the inside, don't they? And you need the Lord to open you up on the inside sometimes to check out what's in there and maybe even straighten some things out. He does it better than anybody, amen? It's sad for me to see people go to, and I know there's a use for them, don't get me wrong, there's a use for your Christian psychologist. Be careful, though. Be very careful. But the Lord Jesus Christ can take care of things on the inside that only He can take care of. Nobody else can get in there and do what He can do because He's the one that made you. All right? Go back there to Revelation here. Let's get something else here. Now, why is it, and I won't chase this morning, I'll let you do this on your own, but why is it that He's called the Lamb with a capital L? Why is that? And why is it that He, being the Lamb, can take away the sin of the world? Well, you want to have some fun? Exodus 12 is the whole account of the Passover Lamb. You remember that? For the Israelites to get out of Egypt, it was the 10th plague, the death of the firstborn. And what the Lord told the Israelites to do is He said, I want you to take a lamb. It's very interesting. He said, take a male without blemish. He said, I want you to take that male without blemish and kill it. That's not enough. You've got to take the blood of that lamb and apply it to the doorpost. And when the Lord looked down and went over all those houses in Egypt, He looked for one thing. What did He look for? He looked to see if the blood of the lamb was on the doorpost. So you could say that the Passover lamb saved them from having death in the house, right? Did you know that the Lamb, capital L, was sacrificed for your sins? Did you know that the way to have His blood applied is to believe on Him, to call on Him to save you, knowing that you're a sinner and you deserve hell? Call on Him to save you, and guess what? The blood gets applied to you so that God does not see your sin. Amen? So I ask you about, do you have eternal life? Have you had your sins taken away by the Lamb of God? He's the only one that can. So there's a second thing in heaven. You got the Lamb. You got the life, the water of life, and the tree of life. You also got the Lamb. Go back there to Revelation 22, and let's get the third thing here. Man, you say you're on the third point, and it's not even 12 o'clock yet. Yeah. Revelation 22. Go back there and let's get the third thing. There's life in heaven. Light cannot be available to you down here. Like it's not available to you down here. And you got the water of life and the tree of life. There's also the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, the most prominent figure in heaven, most important person in heaven. And then let's get this last thing here. Look at verse 5. It says there, and there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun. For the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. You know the third thing that's in heaven besides life and the Lamb? You got light there. Now, you got to use your imagination on this. You really have to. But when you use your imagination, realize that this is something that you're imagining that will come to pass one day. A lot of times we imagine and it's just something that we wish would happen, but it'll never happen. This will happen. Verse 5 says, there shall be no night there. So imagine at 7:30 or whatever time it is that normally the sun goes down, it stays up. And it stays up all through the night. And then the next day is the same. Anybody here been to Alaska and been and seen the sun? Okay, y'all folks have seen that. What a sight. I'm sure that's pretty neat. You've got the sun for several days there. Because where Alaska is situated, the sun doesn't, quote, go down. But can you imagine day after day after day, light, 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 and no darkness? Imagine that. You think you might have a hard time going to sleep? Because the way our brain works, whenever it gets dark outside, that's actually when you're supposed to sleep. And if you've ever worked a night shift before and tried to sleep in the daytime, it's really, really tough. I tried that before, and some of you folks here may have done that before. It's really hard. You're supposed to be asleep when it's night. But if there's no night, I would guess you don't really need to sleep, huh? Well, we could say a lot about that, speculate a lot on that. But the main thing I want to show you here is light is all there is in heaven. There is no darkness. Now, I started off talking about how this world offers you only temporary solutions. And I'm going to tell you something else this world offers you. The world offers you a lot of darkness. It's interesting. If you were to go to the bookstore right now, and be very careful when you set foot in a bookstore. I went in one the other day for the first time in a while. And you know what you will find on the bestsellers list or the main titles of books in the certain sections of the store? You will find books associated with things of darkness. You'll find books about witches and wizards, and you'll find books about all the dark things happening in our world, whether it's from a spiritual or political standpoint. You find a lot of darkness. You know why? Our world offers you nothing really else other than darkness. And if it's light, it's very temporary, and it's actually artificial light. It's not the light that God can give you. So I want you to think about this for a moment. If there is no light, there is no life. No light, no life. So if Miley was in here, she could tell you she learned this in biology last year. Hopefully she learned a couple things. But one thing we spent some time on is this whole process called photosynthesis. Now, I'm not going to give you a big science lesson, but this is pretty neat. Plants need sunlight in order to make food and oxygen. I won't go through the whole process, but I'll just make it that simple. They have to have sunlight to make food and oxygen. Now, there are two things that you need and I need to live. You know what they are? I need something to eat and I need air to breathe. No plants, no life. Plants cannot do that unless they have the light of the sun to do it. So these scientists, you know how smart they are, they've tried all these experiments with artificial light and plants. And you know what they found out? Plants actually can undergo photosynthesis with artificial light. But it's not near as effective as when they have the light of the sun. In fact, they couldn't sustain for a long period of time. They could do it temporarily, but they could not sustain for a long time with artificial light. You know why? They need the real thing. So I say that the world offers you artificial things for temporary solutions that usually lead to great consequences. Jesus Christ offers you a permanent solution. He offers you permanent light. So I already asked you about, do you have life and do you know the Lamb? Do you have your sins taken away? Do you have any light in your life right now? Do you? Do you have any life right now? Let's take back to John chapter 1 again. Do you have any light right at this very moment? John chapter 1. We were just there. Let's go there again. Now, a person cannot live in the dark. Physically, it would lead to a very unhealthy existence. So think about if that which is true physically is also true spiritually. To live in the dark spiritually would not be a healthy spiritual existence, would it? It would not. So take a look here. Jesus Christ, among all the things He is, look down there. We'll just read the first four or five verses to get the idea. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. So reference to Jesus Christ. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Now watch verse 4. In Him was life. Notice the rest of the verse. And the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Verse 4, in Jesus Christ and only in Jesus Christ you will find life and light. So let me ask you, you've been walking in the light this week or you've been walking in the darkness? Because here's the thing, folks, you can know Jesus Christ as your Savior and live your life without Him and you can encounter some darkness. Now you might be thinking, you mean a saved person can walk in darkness? Folks, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a what? Light unto my path. Folks, a saved person, I really believe a saved person can go down a dark path when they leave walking with the Lord and they leave walking according to His Word. I really believe that. So let me give you a warning here this morning. Stay in the light. Don't you see things clear when you are in the light? How many ever tried to walk around during the night and you took a fall? I think of a couple times where I've done that. Folks, you can't see things. You can't see where to go unless you have a light. First thing I do in the morning, and if I was to get up before the sun came up, first thing I do in the morning, I make my way in our bedroom. I get out of bed. I make my way to the light switch because I don't want to go that far in the dark because I know it's dangerous to go that far in the dark. Now, how come you've been walking around in the dark? Why are you walking around in the dark? And it may or may not be you, but you know and the Lord knows. Are you walking around in darkness? You say, I'm saved. I know the Lord. Yeah, you know what? You can put this book to the side. You can put the Lord to the side and do your own thing. That's a dangerous path to walk on. You will fall and it will hurt. Folks, stay walking in the light. Go to John chapter 8. We'll wrap up here. Actually, I'll go one more place back to Revelation after this and we'll wrap up. John 8. John 8, 12. Should be a familiar verse. John 8, 12. Look what he says here. These are the words of Jesus Christ here. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light. And what's he the light of? Isn't that something? The world. What does the world need? They need the light. We're talking about right now. He is the light of the world. Look what it says here. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have, and notice it is again, the light of life. Notice how we've seen this a couple times. Life and light go hand in hand. You need the light. Now, let me ask you a question pertaining to verse 12. He says, he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness. Who you been following this last week? If you're not following the Lord Jesus Christ, you're on the dark path, folks. Get behind Him. Now, I know when I was in elementary school, and Sherry could probably tell you from her class, kids love to be in the front of the line, don't they? I used to love being in the front of the line. Let me get in the front. Because if you're in the front of the line, you're probably going to get your food first, aren't you? Or you're going to get outside first for recess. All right, I know it's fun to be in the lead. But can I just give you a little advice from a spiritual standpoint here? Don't take the lead. Get out of the way. And get behind the light. Get behind Jesus Christ. A lot of times we say, get behind me. I know where I'm going. Do you really know where you're going? I mean, do you really? You don't know where you should go unless the Lord is leading the way in your life. Get behind the one who is the light so that you can see things as you ought. I'm telling you, our world is full of Christians right now that are not walking in the light of Jesus Christ, in the light of His Word, and they're going down this crooked path. We got a lot of Christians doing this today. And here's the thing. A step in the darkness leads to another step and another, and before long, you are way off where you should be. And can you get back on the path? You sure can. But along that path where you're walking in darkness, you'll see a lot of heartache. A lot of difficulty that you shouldn't have had. I know that God can use difficulty and that kind of thing, but you'll get yourself into messes that you actually could have stayed out of if you'd have stayed in the light. Who you've been following. Go back there to Revelation 21, and then we'll wrap up. Revelation 21, and towards the end of that chapter, we talked about life, we talked about the Lamb, and we talked about light this morning. A verse here in chapter 21 is really neat here. And again, this is a scene in heaven. This is an eternity. Verse 22, actually, if you look at 21, 22, and I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. Isn't that neat? 23, and the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it. Now watch this. For the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. You see, all that come together right there. Life, light, and the Lamb, all right there. It says the Lamb is the light thereof. There's coming a day, folks, where the sun that you see coming through the window, the sunlight coming through here, it will not exist. And there will be no need for it because you will no longer be in the S-U-N light. You will literally be, if I'm reading that right, and I believe I am, you'll be in the S-O-N light. Amen? So isn't it neat how things that are spiritual that you and I can't see now in eternity, they become physical realities that we will actually experience. Isn't that neat? So I ask you a couple questions here as we close. Started off talking about life. Folks, there is life only in Jesus Christ. There's no life anywhere else. Make sure you get that. People will go all other sources to find fulfillment, happiness, joy, life. You only get it in Jesus Christ. Do you have eternal life right now? Are you a possessor of eternal life right now? You can know for certain. Don't leave here today without knowing for certain. Second thing goes right along with it, the Lamb. You don't have eternal life unless you know the Lamb of God. Do you know Him? Has He taken away your sin? I'm talking about individually here. You can say, yeah, He died for our sins. How about you? Have you trusted Him to take away your sins? Okay, maybe that's the case. If it is, what about the light? Have you been walking in the light? Have you been following Him, or you've been trying to take the lead? Again, it is just our flesh to want to get in the lead. Get behind the light and let Him lead your way. So as we have our invitation this morning, I don't know what the Lord put on your heart, but hey, maybe you just need to talk to the Lord about where you've been walking. Maybe you need to talk to the Lord about who you've been following. Because you get off the path of the light, you're in a dangerous position. So let's pray together. We'll have our hymn of invitation here. Thank you, Lord, for folks that are here. Thank you for being able to preach your word. And I just pray that you would do your work, as only your word can, on individual hearts this morning. And it would be a shame, it would be a travesty for anybody here sitting in this congregation this morning to walk out of here not knowing for certain they have eternal life through Jesus Christ. And God, we ask that you would just really convict and really prick the hearts of anybody in our presence that is the case with them. And there may be saved people here this morning that have been walking on their own path, not walking in the light. I pray that you would make that known to them. They would very clearly understand the path that you want them on, and they'd be willing to follow you rather than taking the lead. And I just pray for your people here today to respond in a manner that you want them to. May we not just discard things we heard, but may we be moved to action. And we praise the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.